Barbara Aquila, Jane Shannon.
Time to go home now, little doggies. Nothing for you in this truck, no food.
Music supervisor Anita Camerata.
Dogs, I want you to go home.
Get off my bumper!
Music by William Ross. The campaign sound truck, followed by a pack of dogs, screams around the corner, narrowly missing the maintenance truck. The candidate's portrait on the side of the truck is knocked loose and spins around. Co-producer Dinah Minot. Costume designer Jill Hennessy.
What is with you, dogs? You think this truck isn't heat or something? Get out of here!
Edited by Ross Elmer. Production designer Peter Jameson.
You know, if I got the same welcome everywhere I went that I got right here in my hometown, my candidacy would be a lock.
A local reporter and photographer are bored by the ride.
With your help, we will make it.
K. Weiss, C.O. Erickson. The crowd becomes aware of the runaway sound truck as it wildly approaches. Written by Fred Wolf.
Did you do this?
No, did you?
The shaggy-haired sound truck driver is growling into the PA system and driving recklessly, trying to get away from the dogs. The truck swerves to avoid oncoming traffic, driving up onto the sidewalk. The side of the truck reads, "Vote for Al Donnelly, total class," as it runs over a road parking lot.
Oh, my God.
The huge speaker flies off the top of the truck, going through a parked car window. Al Donnelly and his campaign manager, Roger, watch.
Oh, my God.
A mother with a baby carriage crosses the street. The truck driver panics, drives off the road, and ends up dragged under a movie marquee in a shower of sparks. Donald, mouth wide open, stares at the devastation. The truck driver, eyes wide, gasps. The movie was produced by Lorne Michaels. The local press photographer takes a picture.
Oh, there is a God.
Tell me that is not your brother.
What the hell is a marquee doing here? It's crazy.
The brother's in the middle of a football field, directed by Penelope Spheris.
Al, I'm so sorry, man. I don't know what happened.
Mike, forget about it. What'd you think? It was a drive-in movie?
I could get some time off from the rec center. They said it was no problem when I said I was going to help with the campaign. So I was thinking maybe I could go on the road with you and help out. Or...
Look, Mike, I know you're behind me in this 100%, but I kind of need some different help from you.
Oh, man, whatever you want. You know that. Fight and Donnelly stick together.
That's right, all right. Listen, I got a lot of good people in my corner. They're smart people, and they want what we want. And we're going to get there. It's going to take some finesse.
I'll do anything. You just name it, and I'll get started.
All right, now there's a lot to be done right here. I mean, like phone canvassing,
right,
stuff like this. Just stay put, and I'll get you the details, all right?
You going to do it, little brother?
Yeah!
All right.
Come on, let's go!
All the way, Governor.
Al and Roger pull away in his limo, getting ready for the next round, followed by his entourage.
Dock Workers Union. Come on.
Let me make myself clear. My brother is a priority. Now, let's just find someone in the organization.
Just as long as he or she is reliable and helps Mike make a contribution. So just find someone and give him the assignment now.
Excuse me, Mr. About to be governor like Donnelly. This assignment you were just describing, if someone were to volunteer for this gig and did the job well, would he or she possibly earn a staff position in your new administration?
Steve, not now.
Yes, he or she most certainly would.
The privacy window rolls down and a smiling face appears.
Then I am your man.
A beat-up convertible sits in front of the rec center. Inside, Mike's on the phone.
Hi there, this is Mike Donnelly. I work over here at the recreational center. To be honest with you, I pretty much run the place.
Is this, Pat Giles? Good, good. Hey, hope everything's going great in your fine town of, Avery, Atwood. See, the reason I'm calling is I wanted to tell you a little bit about the candidacy of Al Donnelly. Al Donnelly's a guy with a dream. His dream is to become governor of this great state of Washington. Hell, every guy's got his dream, am I right? Between you, me, and the wall, I had a doozy myself last night. Get this. A corn-fed harvest mouse, a hooker, a nun, a Flemish peasant woman, whips chains, whistles yo-yos, a circus midget, my grandmother riding by on a bicycle, give me the finger, and a duck. Now, I don't know. Are you crying? Oh, my Lord. I am sorry, honey. Please don't. Could you get your daddy on the phone? No, don't hang up, please.
Cut outside to the football field.
Whoa.
All right, I want a 32 belly option on 2-on-2. Ready?
Mike is playing quarterback with a group of 12-year-old boys. He throws off his jacket and calls the signals.
Let's do it! Go to Coughlin!
Weaving his huge body through the kids, Mike hands off the ball to the new kid and runs downfield to receive the pass and makes a touchdown.
What's the matter, Sullivan? You mad because you found out the new kid got an arm? Suckers take the walk.
Screw this. I quit.
Fine then. Here's to the winners. Yeah! Cap, fake headbutt. DeSalvo, fake headbutt. New kid, fake headbutt. Ow! You broke my nose! Oh! There's so much blood!
Mr. Donnelly, I swear I did not mean to do it. Please!
Ketchup packet.
Come on, guys. This is weird. Let's go play some kickball.
Yeah, come on.
The team breaks up, leaving Mike and the new kid alone.
What's your name?
Scott Colleary.
Colleary? You got a hell of an arm, Colleary.
Thanks.
Yeah. Don't worry about those guys.
Yeah, they don't like me too much.
Is your mom picking you up?
My mom and dad got a divorce. I have to live with my grandma now.
Steve Dodds drives through town looking for Mike's house.
Oh, come on. Label your streets like the rest of the country.
He hits a crazed pedestrian, Blake Sapton, who rolls over the hood.
Oh, buddy, are you okay?
I'm not that far from dragging you out of the car and beating you into dust.
You should work up to that. Kind of leaves you nowhere to go.
I can go to your mama's and start a small fire in her panties. Now, are you ready to get out of the car?
Oh, no, sir.
Come on!
You know what? That was my fault, and I'm really sorry. Here, I got something for you. It's kind of a souvenir. Oh, here it is.
Yeah! Steve Dodds gives Savage the paper and races on as Savage runs after him. As he turns the corner, he gets stuck in a traffic jam.
Believe this.
He opens the car door, pulls out his luggage, and leaves the car stranded as Savage catches up to the empty car.
Hey!
Mike and Scott in front of Scott's grandmother's house.
That's my grandma, Mrs. Onecker.
Hi, ma'am.
Bet you made some nice friends today, huh?
See ya.
Walking back to his car, Mike turns and calls to Scott.
Scott! God gave you a hell of a throwing arm, and I'll be damned if I'll let that go to waste. I want you on the football field, you and me, every day working on your game. How's that?
Sure.
Nice to meet you, man.
We cut to a souped-up police car riding through town. It pulls into a gas station as the local press reporter and photographers sit in a Jeep watching. Inside, Mike works on an automobile engine.
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Robbie.
Spoke to Anderson at the theater. He wants me to lock you up. I bet your brother's righteously pissed, huh?
No, he's pretty cool as usual.
I'll show you something. Here, check this out.
In fact, I'm going to be working with one of his top guys.
Robbie, the officer, opens the trunk of the patrol car.
Whoa! Nitrous oxide boosters. This thing must haul major ass.
You could say that.
Steve sneaks out of a barbershop and looks around for his car.
Oh, great. Damn it.
A senior citizen approaches.
Get out of my way, buddy.
You know what, lady? I got something for you. Souvenir for you here.
Yes?
Steve puts his hand in his pants pocket.
Never mind. Forget it.
What are you doing, playing pocket pool there, son?
Excuse me.
Hey, you got a little chubby going there. Dream on, you little fart.
Steve covers his eyes, then continues his search on foot for Mike's house. He comes across a lawn covered with Al Donnelly campaign posters, a beat-up convertible pulled up on the grass. Mike is bent over, his pants far down on his backside.
Please don't be Mike Donnelly.
Hi.
Hey. I'm Steve Dodds, one of your brother's advisors. His top advisor, actually.
Wow, it's great to meet you.
Nice to.
A greasy handshake.
See ya. Al, your brother, told me to drop everything, come down here, and kind of get you organized for the final push for the big election.
Well, let's get to it. Team Donnelly gonna take a little Tracy Bond.
He slams the hood in his fingers.
What I thought is we'd start with the supermarket down here and canvass that area first.
I...
Yeah, no. Trust me on this one. It's a good idea.
But...
Listen, I'm running this show. You gotta take my advice. I know what I'm doing. Do you have to go to the bathroom?
Please, pop the hood. Please.
Oh, your thumbs, the hood. Okay, what latch? Where do you want me to,
Just pop the hood! Please!
Popping the hood.
A shopping center.
Good afternoon, sir. We'd like you to vote Al Donnelly for governor. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Mike, covered with Donnelly buttons,
hand
springs up to a shopper, offering her a button. She runs away.
Sorry. Listen, I think it's better if we bring the energy down a tad.
Are you kidding me? These are potential voters. It's showmanship. You gotta go out and get them.
Yeah. Watch and learn.
He approaches an elderly couple.
Hi, folks! Vote for Don!
Oh,
good God, man!
Here, let me get that for you,
now look,
sir.
I drove down there. I think I put the groceries in the truck.
Little help from the Donnelly campaign.
Back off!
The woman hits Mike with her cane.
Come on, Mother.
Let me help you, sir.
Get in the car, dear.
All right, Mother.
The couple gets into their car as Mike slams the trunk closed, catching his tie.
Folks! Trouble here. Help! Please!
He is dragged down the road.
He must be all hopped up on crack cocaine.
Lord, Harold!
I can't!
Mike continues to bang at the trunk while running after the car as it leaves the parking lot.
Good, I think I've lost him.
He falls to the ground.
Please!
And is dragged, trailing behind, with sparks flying from his belt buckle. The car makes a sharp turn, and Mike is thrown free and slides off, coming to a dead stop in front of Steve. He gets to his feet, smoke billowing from his body.
Okay. Good first day.
Yeah.
Governor Tracy and her family shoot a commercial in front of the governor's mansion.
Washington State, isn't it a great place to raise a family? That's because for the last 8 years, I've worked very hard as your governor to make sure our state is clean, safe, and fiscally sound. If reelected to a third term, I'll do my best as your governor to make sure that all the hopes and dreams of Washingtonians come true. I need a break. I'll be right back.
She talks to an aide.
Did you get the latest polls?
Donnelly's brother took a campaign van on a rampage. He can't get a break even in his hometown.
He doesn't need a break. They just gained another 2 points.
We're all right. A lot can be done in a week.
If we don't do something soon, he'll be living here.
Who left this crap in here?
Mike pulls his convertible up to a local market, and Steve gets out.
Promise me you'll stay in the car.
I promise.
Steve enters the store as a disheveled man walks out to the back of a junked truck, filled with a bunch of hippie types drinking beer. Mike joins them. From their Jeep, the local reporters spy on Mike drinking and laughing with the hippies.
Go for it.
The photographer gets out of the car and hides behind a tree to focus his camera on a marijuana joint as Mike and the hippies enjoy themselves. He takes a series of photos.
Snorting, shooting, sucking, toking, popping, dropping.
The photographer hops into his Jeep and drives off.
Party with you.
The kid's a star.
No, he's a gold mine.
Horse!
Front page.
Outside Al's office.
Jesus, Mike. It's not as bad as it looks. It turns out he was giving these kids a speech about saying no to drugs.
Well, can you get the paper to print a retraction?
Yeah, sure, and they'll run it on page 36 in about 2 weeks. Al, you can take this election. But your brother is creating his own media feeding frenzy, and all of it is negative. We've got to put a lid on him.
You're right, but he doesn't deserve to be exiled. And just tell Steve to watch him like a hawk and to keep the reporters at bay.
The crowd cheers as Al appears on his balcony.
Welcome, Washington Teachers Association! Welcome!
In a crowd cheer, Governor Tracy talks to lumberjacks
Washington
in the forest.
Has the most beautiful forest in America. And I am proud to be an honorary Clark County lumberjack.
She picks up an axe and begins swinging at a tree as the lumberjacks cheer.
The tree's not falling.
I know.
Don't let anyone ever tell you your job is easy.
She swings the axe again, and everyone is aghast as the tree falls on the lunch table.
You make the call. Rest is for damage control. You stay put.
Parade approaches.
That's just great.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Excuse us just a moment.
What the hell happened? That tree was supposed to go down on the first whack.
Well, I thought you covered really well.
Oh, you're just lucky some kid didn't get his head cracked wide open.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you get the numbers in?
Not off the wire.
Donnelly's leveled off.
Mm-hmm. We're dead even. Look at this.
The headline, Bad, Bad Black Sheep.
Front page.
Donnelly's brother is like Roger Clinton, Billy Carter, and Ronald Reagan's entire family rolled into one.
Let's move this out of the land of mere embarrassment into the realm of serious effect. Are you ready to play the game?
I've got some pretty nasty ideas.
Good. Act on them.
Mike and Steve.
I've been fired.
What? Why?
Said the rec center state-funded. He can't afford to be associated with any kind of a scandal, especially one involving kids and drugs. He said that he stood up for me, but word came from the top for me to clear out my locker and get out.
It's crazy, man. I don't know what to say.
I love this job. I've been here since the place opened. And then they just... Dude, can I get a couple minutes just to, you know, clear some of the gear out?
Yeah, sure. Hey, I'm sorry, man. Take your time.
Steve gets up and leaves Mike alone as he looks at the numerous athletic trophies lining the walls of the manager's office of the rec center. Many of the trophies have Mike's picture on them as team manager. He lovingly removes each one, smiling at some, clearly remembering each moment as he packs up his memorabilia. One of the objects is a white bunny hat with long, pink, furry ears, which he throws into the packing box, then changes his mind. He retrieves it from the box, puts it on, and attaches it under his chin. He continues to pack. A nostalgic Mike slowly walks out of the manager's office carrying his things. He still has his bunny ears attached. As he sets his gear down on the porch, something catches his attention. He hears voices in a nearby building. Mike walks off the porch in the direction of the voices.
Hey, fellas, how's it going? Can I help you?
They laugh at his hat.
Hey, Mike, how's things? Kind of pissed off about losing your job, huh?
Mike takes off the hat.
All right, pal, what's going on here?
You know, you really shouldn't play with matches.
One man lights a book of matches.
Hey! What the hell are you doing?
Mike tries to stomp out the fire as the two walk away laughing. But the recreation center has been set up to burn. And there's no stopping the fire as it rapidly rages and from a distance, the reporter who took pictures of the hippie scene is rapidly snapping photos of this fun scene. A car screeches its wheels and disappears.
Why in the hell? No!
Mike, how the hell did this happen?
The photographer is still shooting. A police car pulls up to Mike and Steve.
Roger,
Robbie, you know I didn't do this.
Jesus, Mike, give me some credit, will you? Did you see who did it?
Two guys. I don't know who they were.
Yeah, well, they didn't count on me getting here first. Look, you guys get out of here, and when the troopers arrive, I'll just tell them I didn't find anybody here. All right? Go ahead, take off.
Thanks, Robbie. I owe you one, man.
Call me later.
They run off as Robbie calls in the
fire. Base, this is Meagham. I'm down here at the Pierce County Rec Center. Send fire units and a backup. Look, I'm the only one down here.
Owsley, Roger.
Well, did he do it or not?
Covery, on that subject, I would have to lean toward the negative.
I know what you're saying.
Give me the phone, Roger.
Steve, it's Al. What is going on?
Hey, Al. Well, in my opinion, when I got to the rec...
My brother. Al, I know how this must look, but I had nothing to do with that fire. I love that place. It was my life. You gotta believe me.
Of course I believe you, man. You had to have been set up, and we're gonna get to the bottom of this right now. We have a game plan, don't we, Roger?
Roger gulps Pepto-Bismol.
Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it.
Roger and Steve are gonna work this out.
Mike, don't worry. Everything is gonna be okay. I promise.
Thanks, Al. Thanks. Steve here.
Meet me downstairs. I'll lobby.
Dots? Listen to me very carefully. We have got to keep this bozo
under wraps until the election is over. Now,
I want you to do exactly as I tell you.
Yeah, okay, keep talking.
I know a place way outside of town.
Mike and Steve drive along a lonely country road, which turns into a dirt road, leading them to a secluded house in the woods. There is a single light bulb burning on the porch. Mike looks at the cabin and frowns.
If you've never seen The Dead Zone, this is the season to watch.
She's still alive. I can feel it.
We're going to find her.
New visions, new stories, new revelations.
Will this man destroy the world?
This summer, the truth will finally be revealed.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
The Dead Zone. New season premieres Sunday at 10 on USA.
My family always loved the sun, but my husband, he got skin cancer. There were 1.3 million new cases of skin cancer last year. He's okay, but you've got to use sunscreen. Every time you're outdoors, not just at the beach. Now we use Coppertone Spectra 3 to reduce our risk. We're not hiding in the house. I'm just watching the sun and my family just a little closer.
Coppertone wants everyone to get smart about the sun.
Bogo! Here, Bogo! Come on, Bogo!
The dog's name's Weezer.
Got Bogo on the brain?
Buy one, get one half off summer's white-hot sandals and canvas styles at Payless. Don't miss it.
From Monistat comes the one-dose ovule, a soft gel insert that's part of the Monistat 1 combination pack, which means relief starts faster. That one-dose pill can take up to 24 hours. Fast relief means Monistat.
They are a dark army that will kill every last human life.
Convert now or fall forever.
I know a man, and we must rely on him. Things are even worse than you say.
Are you going to stop the monsters now?
I am the monster.
The Chronicles of Riddick, rated PG-13, at theaters Friday, June 11th.
Anxiety can become overwhelming. You may avoid certain situations even though you want to join in. You might shake, sweat, or feel panicky. You may worry that everyone is judging you and become embarrassed. The anxiety may affect your relationships with friends or people you work with. You just feel so isolated. These are some symptoms of social anxiety disorder, a serious medical condition. While the cause is unknown, social anxiety disorder may be related to an imbalance of natural chemicals between nerve cells in the brain. Prescription Zoloft works to correct this imbalance. You just shouldn't have to feel this way anymore. Only your doctor can diagnose social anxiety disorder. Zoloft is not for everyone. People taking MAOIs or Pimazide should not take Zoloft. Side effects may include dry mouth, insomnia, sexual side effects, diarrhea, nausea, and sleepiness. Zoloft is not habit-forming. Talk to your doctor about Zoloft, the number one prescribed brand of its kind. Zoloft. When you know more about what's wrong, you can help make it right.
Introducing TGI Friday's Fresh Summer Salads. Now there's even more to love about summer. Three great salads, three amazing flavors. Like new Atkins-approved grilled buffalo chicken salad. New Mediterranean shrimp salad. And Friday's favorite, pecan-crusted chicken salad. Hurry in for fresh summer salads. Now at TGI Fridays.
Nemesis, Avenger, Hero. Outsmart Donkey Kong and bring back the mini Marios in Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Only for Game Boy Advance. Rated everyone.
I run 2 miles a day. I work. I take care of my family, my business, myself. I fight for what I want. I never stop trying. I test. I test 4 times a day. I'm a daughter, a mother, a wife. I am a diabetic. I am a diabetic, and this is my meter.
The new AccuCheck Compact System. No strip handling, finger or forearm test. Faster results. The one with the drum. AccuCheck. Live life. We'll fit in.
Look at those ears! Almost as big as yours!
Do you really want to talk about ears?
What?
The Donkey Kong Banana Sundae. Rich ice cream with caramel praline topping and banana ears. Inspired by Shrek 2. Now at Baskin-Robbins.
Every Saturday on Before and After Noon. Makeovers.
We have a terrific transformation in store today.
Check her out!
And movies that make you feel great. Wow. This week, Winona Ryder and Anne Bancroft star in How to Make an American Quilt. Before and Afternoon, Saturday at 12 on USA. Presented by Caress Shimmering Body Wash.
Steve and Mike enter and switch on the lights. It looks lived in, rustic and cozy.
All right. Bunk beds.
I got dibs on tap.
Okay. First class, right? What's that black thing?
What?
They walk over to a picture on the wall.
Oh.
Touch it.
What? Touch it.
You afraid?
No, I'll touch it.
You totally didn't touch it.
Well, then you touch it.
I will if you will.
All right.
It's a bat.
Whoa! Man! Oh! Oh! Ah, what is that?
It's Ozzy Osbourne.
Whoa!
Oh, my God! Whoa.
I think it's gone.
I hate those damn things.
Oh, man! It bit me! I'm gonna get rabies!
Mike crawls under the bottom bunk bed and out the other side, shaking the bed apart.
Come on! Oh! Okay. Yo! I got an idea, okay? I'll open the fridge. You hit the lights. Bats are attracted to light. Fly in the fridge, I close the door, end of story. That's moths, you dumbass, not bats.
Oh, yeah, moths.
Watch this.
Steve chases the bat with a pot in each hand. Mike wields a broom.
That's it. Corner it. I think I got it.
No way.
I think it's in there.
Well, then look.
You look.
All right. We'll both look together.
One, two, three.
You idiot. You can't catch a bat with a pot, moron. Take a mop, a broom.
Oh, God.
As Mike turns, Steve sees the bat stuck in his hair. He jumps around frantically, trying to get it off, as Steve picks up a blanket, throws it over Mike's head, and beats on his back with the broom in an attempt to kill the bat.
Why are you hitting me? It's gnawing at my skull! For God's sakes!
Mike is down on his knees as Steve continues to beat and kick him.
You're aggravating me! Stop it! Why are you kicking me? Oh, I can't.
From outside the cabin, the sound of Mike's cries break up the night.
I nailed it. Oh, God, I don't believe it. I missed it. He's still alive.
Can we please try my idea? Come on! Pull the thing tight so it gets in there!
Try.
Well, try harder. Stay over there, you moron. Okay, it's fine in there. It's fine in there. Okay,
get it. Fly right in the middle. Oh, my God, it touched my head.
This doesn't work. I'm sleeping in the car.
Stay there. Okay. Okay, it's right in the middle. Okay, we got it? We got it? We got it?
They capture the bat behind a sheet and force it outside, slamming the door.
Good night, Steve. Good night, Mike.
Governor Tracy with her staff.
The police officer who arrived before our guys was a friend of Mike's.
He let him leave and never even reported seeing him in there, so Mike was never linked to the fire.
Neuschwander, are you finished stirring that drink, or is this some kind of f***ing science experiment? Now, I realize that you must stick close together because you share a common goddamn backbone, but I want to see some movement! Now!
Mike and Steve hanging posters for Al.
This is great. There's 1,502 registered voters in Garfield County. Go get them, Al.
Hey, pretty good day. No screw-ups. Keep up the good work. I'm gonna go take a squeege.
The camera draws back and we see posters on every tree lining the dirt road. Mike writhes in pain as he staples his hand to one of the posters, his voice echoing through the mountains. Back at the cabin, Steve is outside standing on top of Mike's car, a sandwich in one hand, a phone in the other, trying to make a cell call. He can't get a signal. On top of a huge boulder, on the hill behind their cabin, he tries again to get a connection. He slips, and his sandwich falls below. He watches from above as a raccoon runs out of the woods and digs for the hidden sandwich. Dialing the phone again, he turns and walks back to the road as a car approaches.
What is wrong? Oh, something tells me I want this car to just keep driving.
Steve faces four scowling Appalachian youngsters in the open back seat.
Hey, gang!
They continue to scowl.
Is there an Opie convention in town? Kidding.
You're not from around here, huh?
You know what I am? Born and raised.
Nope. Can't be true.
One boy gets up, aiming a fire extinguisher at Steve.
Fire!
He empties the spray on him. As the group of boys continue to roar with laughter, Steve is covered with white foam.
Thanks for not shoving the nozzle up my ass first!
Mike appears over the top of a ridge overlooking the picturesque mountain cabin.
Vote for Donnelly!
Every vote counts.
Mike, carrying a voting brochure, loses his footing and tumbles down the mountain, creating a trail of dust. Coming to a stop, he winces in pain, then gets to his feet and smiles. The earth under him gives way, and he's off again. Mike grabs hold of a shrub and breaks his tumble.
Thank you, little roots. Please stay strong.
The shrub pulls out of the earth, Mike along with it, and he continues rolling and bouncing down the mountain until he comes to a stop at the bottom in front of the cabin. He jumps back to his feet, looking up at the trail he just made.
What in the hell was that all about?
Totally disheveled and exhausted, Mike walks to the mailbox, puts a campaign brochure in, and trudges off. Steve.
Well, you little freaks, better be careful, because next time I don't go down so easy. Next time I'm going to be like, oh, you want to spray me? How about this? Arm grab, snap kick, side kick, rabbit punch,
Rabbit Punch into Pile Driver. That's right, my friend. It's a Pile Driver. Oh, who else wants some? You, a sleeper hold. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A gray car pulls up to a neighboring cabin as Steve hides, still covered with spray.
Yeah, that's my car.
It's Drake Savage.
It's that same asshole.
Steve stares from behind the tree. His cell phone rings.
What the hell was that?
Savage turns and looks. Steve hops off toward his cabin and sees Mike on the porch.
Whoa, what happened to you? Did you fall into some mud or something?
Yeah, I did. And I'm going to be rich because I'm the only person on Earth who knows where you can find white mud.
I didn't say mud. I said crud. You fall into some crud or something? You get some water, wipe off that crud.
Come on, Mike. I'm not one of your 8-year-olds that's going to believe that.
Shut up, Steve. Where'd you go?
Make a phone call. Hey, remember I told you about that guy that stole my car?
Yeah.
He lives about a mile from here. He's driving it.
They arrive at a well.
Let's go get it back.
You don't want that kind of trouble. This guy is unstable at best.
You can't keep running away from things. You gotta be tough.
Mike has thrown a bucket from the well chucked full of writhing snakes. They run into the woods.
Get your underpants! I hate those things!
Worse every second.
I hate snakes!
They stop in a clearing, shake themselves. Then take a breath and run, stopping in front of a lake.
Whoa! Check it out! Jump in, wash that crap off.
There's probably piranha in there. This place is a nightmare.
Get tough, Nancy boy. Jump in.
Mike walks off, leaving Steve by the lake.
I don't see you going in.
Steve looks down into a mess of pond scum, then looks back.
Where'd you go?
Hello, Washington!
Yeah! Mike is flying through the air at a Tarzan. He's swinging on a rope and lets go for a cannonball into the lake. A deer stalks, a bear growls, geese take flight, the raccoon gives up Steve's sandwich, and the boulder above their cabin shudders. Now in their cabin, freshly clean and changed, Steve and Mike play a game of checkers, with Steve clearly in control of the game. Mike, with a questioning look, makes an unfortunate move, and Steve, with a raised eyebrow, happily takes advantage.
This is great. I've never won 3 games in a row. I hardly ever play checkers.
It's kind of easy to win when you, never move your back roll!
From the vibration of Mike's voice, the boulder shudders.
Come on!
Okay, well, where would you want me to move this one?
There. King me! Okay, move this one here. It's safe, I swear. It's safe. It's... That wasn't safe at all. What an idiot. Oh, this is fun.
Yeah, it was.
High in the sky, a hawk flies over the boulder, dropping its load, knocking the boulder loose. It rumbles down the mountainside. Inside the cabin, Steve and Mike respond to the noise and look around.
What's going on?
The boulder thunders down.
That's not normal.
It crashes into their cabin, and the furniture and appliances are thrown across the floor as Steve and Mike have been thrown clear outside the cabin, coughing and spitting dust and debris. They drag themselves to their feet and look up at the cabin in amazement. It sits on a 30-degree angle.
How the hell did that happen?
Mike looks disgusted as he enters the cabin. Steve and Mike slowly look in disbelief at the incredible damage. The entire room is topsy-turvy with furniture all over, the beds undone, and the refrigerator by the beds.
This place is trashed!
Check this out. This whole fridge is held up here just by this plug.
Steve pulls the plug, and because of the impact, the refrigerator slides down on Mike and pins him against the wall.
You okay?
I'm just dandy. I got a bowl of chocolate pudding in my underpants.
We didn't have any pudding in there, buddy.
Mike gives Steve a look. Outside, Steve and Mike go for a walk.
This sucks. I can't believe I forgot to call Scott Colleary.
Good luck getting out. It's never going to work.
Yes, it will. All you need to do is get a signal.
Mike tries his cell phone over and over. He strides up and down, trying to find a place where he can get a signal, as Steve looks on in amusement.
Hello?
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 Miss Onaker?
Yes.
Hello, Miss Onaker?
Mike keeps walking in an attempt to keep the connection. Not looking where he's headed, he rams his head into a leaning tree and collapses on the ground.
Miss Onaker, is Mike Donnelly, is Scott there?
No.
Oh, geez, I had to leave town. Could you tell him I'm sorry and I'll make it up to him? Okay, don't forget to tell him now. Hello?
Still on the ground, Mike winces as he cuts the call. It is a beautiful sunset, and Mike's buddy Scott sits alone on bleachers, tossing a football in the air, and walks off. The leaning cabin in total darkness. It's windy outside. Steve is lying on the bottom bunk, and Mike is on top.
Good night, Steve.
Good night, Mike.
Outside, the wind has picked up. It's blowing steadily. Steve watches nervously from his bed. Mike is fast asleep, snoring. The wind picks up the roof on one side of the precarious cabin. Steve tries to get up and hits his head on the bunk above. Mike wakens to a flapping roof slamming against the cabin.
Oh, God.
I don't like this, Mike. Mike?
The roof flies completely off, landing some feet away.
This sucks. Good night, Steve.
Good night, Mike.
Steve and Mike resume their sleep with no roof above them. As they sleep, a hailstorm sends large chunks of ice down on them. The hail bounces all over, and the two wake up. Mike, in the top bunk, pulls the covers over his head.
Hey, Mike, I got dibs on top bunk.
Shut up!
Oh, I love it.
Why don't you shut up?
Hello, Washington. Hey, how's the weather up there, buddy?
Shut up!
The top bunk, filled with the weight of the hail and Mike, falls on Steve. Mike, on the crest of a mountain, talks on his cell.
Hey, Roger? How you doing? It's Mike Donnelly. Is Al there?
Gee, Mike, Al's kind of busy right now.
I know. I just wanted to, tell him I'm working my tail off for him up here, and,
there's no way Al's gonna lose Garfield County.
Yeah, that's great. I'll be sure to tell him. Thanks for ringing up.
Come on, Roger, let me talk to Al. It's only gonna take a minute.
Al doesn't want to speak to you.
What do you mean Al doesn't want to speak to me? Why?
Listen very carefully to me, Mike. You know what Al calls you when you're not around here?
The idiot, okay? All right? Is that blunt enough for you? You are not going to speak to him now.
And as far as I'm concerned, if I had my way, you wouldn't speak to him after he's elected governor.
Hurt and confused, Mike shuts off the cell and turns away. Mike in the dark cabin.
Covery. Man, that guy's a dick. Who is he to say I can't talk to my own brother?
Steve sleeps.
You know? I need to go down there and straighten this thing out. What do you think about that, Steve?
Al speaking at that Rock the Boat concert in Seattle.
Steve?
Mike moves toward Steve.
What do you think if I went down to...
He moves back the blanket and finds a Playboy magazine. He quickly leafs through the book, then replaces it under the covers as Steve, still asleep, makes contented sounds.
That's sad.
In the dead of night, Mike, a man on a mission, takes off alone in his convertible, headed west towards Seattle. We see the Space Needle building dominating the Seattle skyline. As Mike enters the city, the busy nightlife surrounds him. He passes hippies as he enters a building. Descending a red carpeted stairway in a well-appointed hotel, Mike looks around and heads for the basement. He finds a security guard's hat and enters a tussle with a nose-pierced punk rocker.
Hey, remember? I was on the end, man. Hey, it's cool. I was it. No, I was... Hey, guys.
Where's the fire?
Dude, we pay these bands salaries by buying a ticket to this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah! Come on!
Okie dokie.
Come on.
Son, I'd like you to step away from this vector and get into a different coordinate pronto. There's no access for you in this quadrant.
Man, why don't you goose step on down to the women and children over there and give them your little power trip, all right? Because they might be impressed by it, asshole.
Yeah. Young fella, I'm going to twist off your head and spike it onto the floors of a nightmare you can't even imagine. I will dance with you inside of this six-sided ring of fire and let you move from this area far and fast. Now!
The mass of teenagers moves quickly away from Mike.
Like that move?
Yeah, I learned it in 84 Bounce Off over at Laguna Beach.
One Mr. T hosted.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. It's the same one.
Descending another set of stairs, Mike finds the green room. As he opens the door, he finds a reggae band waiting their turn to go on stage.
Wow. Whoopsie-daisy. I was, looking for my brother, Al Donnelly. He's around here somewhere. So you fellas are, performers, or,
They are clearly drugged out and offer him a joint.
Oh, no thanks. I never touch the stuff. There's nothing in the air here to get everybody high. Besides, it gives you the munchies.
God knows I don't need that. Yay!
Mike rubs his generous belly, and they stare blankly. The hotel stage.
Rock Chavote presents Mudhoney.
A convention performance within the hotel, complete with screaming teenagers. Al Donnelly talks strategy with a staff member.
I don't think these kids want to hear me talk about bond issues, man.
Al, we are lucky to be a part of this. Just go out, tell the kids to vote, do an interview with some MTV person, and we're out of here.
The singing group continues its lively performance as the teenage audience starts jumping on the stage. And one by one, they get thrown off. With the reggae band.
So he says, wrecked him, damn near killed him.
Mike eats while the others smoke joints.
Oh, I love you guys. This is fun. So anyway, what you're saying, I'm the man, Whitey, and you guys are the victims of a tyrannical, racist, oppressive society.
That's right.
There we go.
Man, that sucks.
Sucks, true.
I'm going to talk to some people and straighten this out, man. Right?
Come on.
Kick ass, Whitey.
Mike goes to find his brother. He looks wasted. Al and Roger,
So when do I go on?
I don't know. 6-7 minutes. Just relax.
All right.
Straighten your tie.
Should I lose the tie?
Loosen the tie.
Just take it down.
Cool.
Take it down.
The band finishes its performance as Mike dances on the sidelines with the group.
What's your name?
Oh, Mike Donnelly.
Governor Donnelly?
Yeah.
Nice thread.
Yeah. No, you jag. He ain't the governor. Yeah. He's running for governor.
Why? Get on out there. No.
The band members mistake Mike for Al as the candidate, and they drag him on stage to the screaming approval of the hopped-up audience.
To me, don't talk to me.
Mike, not knowing what to do, hesitatingly approaches the mic.
Not supposed to be here.
They cheer at everything.
God, what is this?
I guess I could sure use some cupcakes or some peanut butter cups about now. Yeah, you know what that's about. Yeah. So I guess you guys should vote, you know, because voting kicks ass, right? Yeah! And let me tell you, if you're going to vote, why not vote for Al Donnelly, right?
Mike shakes his head up and down vigorously, and the crowd roars its approval.
Because,
Al watches a TV screen.
What in the hell? Oh, please, God, I'm dreaming.
You got some kick ass!
Mike takes a flying slide on stage. Al cringes.
Oh, God, I'm a dead man. I'm hyperventilating. Oh.
Because I'm born in the USA!
The crowd's enthusiasm for Mike is unrelenting. He has them in the palm of his hand.
You gotta fight for your right to vote!
He slaps hands with the audience.
That's one small step for man, one giant. I have a dream! To the people!
Mike is on a roll as Al watches his TV in disbelief.
Oh, Mike.
Mike sees the Rag A group by the stage and remembers.
Kill Whitey!
A dead silence.
No!
The Rag A group motions no to Mike.
Sunday. It's a day of television Mother Nature never intended. It all starts with Stephen King's Storm of the Century, hosted by The Dead Zone's Anthony Michael Hall. Then, the USA Network premiere of Hannibal. Finally, the season premiere of The Dead Zone. Altogether, it's one freaky day of television. Sunday, starting at 1. Only on USA.
Healthy. Vibrant. Full of life. Introducing new Purina Dog Chow. It's a new way to think about nutrition. Dog Chow surrounds your dog's needs with powerful nutrition that builds the digestive system, replenishes vital organs, including a healthy heart, and repairs muscle cells. New Purina Dog Chow. Non-stop nutrition that helps your dog thrive. That's a Dog Chow talking.
When you have the right equipment, getting projects done fast is a breeze, especially with the Husky Easy Air Compressor, only from the Home Depot.
Call, click, or visit the Home Depot today and see how easy it is to put this portable and versatile air compressor to work. With just a squeeze of a trigger, the Husky Easy Air powers through dozens of everyday and specialty jobs. Simply choose your attachment, then use your imagination. Inflate, paint, nail, or clean up. because at just 24 pounds, this 135 PSI workhorse is no lightweight. Order your Husky Easy Air Compressor from the Home Depot today for just $99.97, and you'll also get free shipping.
Make jobs around your house and your neighborhood go a whole lot easier with the Husky Easy Air Compressor. Call, click, or visit the Home Depot today.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
The latest low-carb news isn't a new diet book. It's New Centrum Carb Assist, the more complete multivitamin supplement with higher levels of select nutrients that help your body utilize fats and protein efficiently. New Centrum Carb Assist makes everyone's diet more complete, from A to zinc.
One man.
Stop him!
Sorry! Has 80 days.
I'll go with you.
To race around the world.
That's nice.
Before his number is up, Jackie Chan.
On the right. Oh, no, my right.
Stop helping me!
Around the World in 80 Days, rated PG, June 16th.
Is sunless tanning brand more women recommend to their friends? Neutrogena. Instant Bronze Sunless Tanner shows where it goes, so you see, it's not streaky or fake. It looks like a real back-from-the-beach tan. Would I recommend Neutrogena? I already have. Instant Bronze, Neutrogena.
Turn up the heat with Dentine Fire. This is no ordinary gum. Ruby red shell outside. Intensely cinnamon inside. It's Dentine Fire. It's cinnamon. It sizzles. Dentine Fire. Spark something.
Hand me down my walking cane. Hand me down my hat.
Hey, y'all, prepare yourself for the rubber band. Man, you're bound to lose control when the rubber band starts to jam.
How much of this stuff do we think we can stand?
So much rhythm, grace, and debonair for one man.
There are three things you can count on in life: death, taxes, and cable rate increases. Thousands of Americans each day have realized that rising cable rates and poor service are not their only choice. People are switching to DirecTV. Switching from cable has never been easier, especially now that you can get a four-room system for free. With the DirecTV Total Choice Plus with local channels programming package, you get over 130 channels of your favorite programming with true digital quality picture and sound. And best of all, you get your favorite local channels too. DirecTV also offers premium programming from HBO, Starz, Showtime, Cinemax, plus Sports Pack. Plus up to 55 pay-per-view choices a day. Plus you get your choice of the best sports programming available, including NFL Sunday Ticket, exclusively from DirecTV. Your choice has never been easier. Call now to order your DirecTV system for up to four rooms for free. That's a $299 value. And your standard professional installation is always included.
On June 21st, it's a star-studded celebration of a spectacular career.
It's incredible!
The AFI Life Achievement Award, a tribute to Meryl Streep. Monday, June 21st at 9 on USA. Presented in part by Chrysler.
Later in the hotel lobby.
What in the hell were you thinking?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And, I don't know how it happened, but I just got thrown on stage.
Now, why couldn't you just stay put, huh? I told you I would take care of everything. You could trust me. But no, we could kill Whitey? Man, I can't believe I have to ask you this, but are you trying to screw things up for me? I mean, what is this? Do you want me to lose?
If I really thought you believed that, I'd want to die.
They look at each other.
Just stay out of the way, okay?
Al leaves the darkened lobby as the cleaning crew works. With his head down, Mike leaves in the other direction. Mike and Steve on the cabin porch.
Are you or are you not the Black Angel of Death?
Without question.
Don't agree with me, it just pisses me off more.
It's over. It's finished.
talking about your brother's election hopes or just my career?
The person I care about most in my life hates me. I'm not a brother, I'm an embarrassment.
Mike flips aside the blanket that serves as a door and enters the cabin, as Steve remains outside, thinking. Mike sulks in a chair as Steve cheerily approaches him.
So what do you want to do today?
I don't care. Whatever you want.
Man, I wish we could watch your brother's debate on TV.
That's today? We gotta watch it.
What are we gonna do, hook a hanger up to the metal plate in your head?
I know a place with a TV. I saw it when we were putting up posters. It's not far from here. Let's go.
Mike and Steve, on an angled floor, march out of the cabin. A cabin with a huge dish.
Here it is.
Of course. This had to be the place you knew. How could you have such horrible instincts and survive this long?
They cautiously approach.
Looks like nobody's home.
Yeah, I met this guy. Nobody is home.
They trip a wire.
Oh!
Oh, no!
Run!
The place is mine.
Security system.
Mike and Steve run into a school bus outfitted as a living quarters.
Ready to start filming, Mr. Stone?
Really? My God, this guy is like Leatherface, Chucky, and Jan Brady all rolled into one.
Mike screws up his face.
Honorable discharge, Drake Savage. This must be his dad, Nora Savage.
Military photos cover the walls.
And Grandpappy Winston.
They sit down.
If only he had bought a smaller TV, maybe he could have afforded a couch with less urine on it.
Yeah.
They watch the debate.
I want to see a Washington where children can walk down the street safely, where people can leave their doors unlocked and their minds are free from fear.
Well, this is one area where I'm in total agreement with Governor Tracy. As a matter of fact, I agreed with that statement when she made it in her first campaign for governor over 8 years ago.
Our bro is knocking snot out of her.
I'm gonna go take a squeege.
Steve leaves.
Step.
He walks around the back of the bus and sees the rental car Savage stole from him.
No.
Walking over to the car, Steve tries all the doors, but they are locked. Mike watches TV.
If you really want to understand Mr. Donnelly's view on family values, take a look at his brother and ask yourself this question. How far does the acorn fall from the tree? Or should I say, nut?
Yes, my brother has some problems, but who doesn't? And I just want to say, I love my brother Mike, and I am very proud of him. And I believe that Mike's problems are rather modest when compared to the problems facing our great state. And those are the problems that I am interested in.
Get her, Al.
Mike is touched. Steve relieves himself. It's Drake Savage.
You're in the wrong zone, soldier boy. What the hell are you doing in my perimeter?
Sir, I'm not a soldier. And I don't know if you read in USA Today last week, but the war's over. You can punch out now. Move on. Let it go.
Who told you that?
Charlie. I just talked to Charlie, and he's not mad at you anymore. So let's call off Operation One of Us is Crazy and go our separate ways.
Get smart with me.
Ow.
If you don't tell me who sent you on this mission, I'm easily within my legal rights to dispatch you with extreme prejudice.
More urine.
Sir, honestly, I just came back to get my rental car and an apology, and if I could get that, I will gladly leave your coordinates here.
Oh, the car? Huh? Is that all? God. Well, why didn't you tell me? Here's the keys.
Oh, thank you.
Here's my apology.
Savage shoots around at Steve's car. Mike hears the commotion.
I can splatter your cortex, or I can explode your heart, which sounds quicker to you.
It's Tuffy.
Mike flies out of the bus, sending Savage to the ground. He gets up, and they fight. Mike picks up the 6'2" man and easily throws into the ground again. They stare at each other, ready to continue.
Nice moves. I'm seriously impressed. Sergeant Drake Savage.
How you doing, Mike Donnelly? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Come here, I want to show you.
Drake, you ever watch any Bruce Lee movies?
I got every one of them on laser. Well, come here.
Steve watches as Savage opens the bus door for Mike to enter. The camera follows down his body. The Seattle Space Needle, a train at a posh restaurant.
That damn debate should have never happened in the first place. That son of a bitch Donnelly had a smart-ass comment to make after everything I said.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I can't wait to see the look on his face when he goes down.
With all deference, Governor, but if he goes down, it's all up to the voter turnout, which our people think will be very high.
Well, it better be. Or I'll have your balls in a jar on my desk. A very small jar.
Always small. Reverend Tracy weaves through the dancers toward her 8-year-old son, who is dancing with a gorgeous blonde woman. He is brought to his Oriental nanny.
Take home, put in bed.
Good night, dear.
Oh, she's totally legal. I've got all her papers, and I pay all the taxes. Very good help, but no speaker.
Her assistant whispers.
Who? What does he want?
I'm not sure, but he says he thinks you'll like it.
Pardon me.
They walk over to a table where the reporter is seated.
Governor Tracy, this is Mr.
Mr.'s fine.
Governor Tracy and her aide join him at his table.
So here's what went through my little head. I got some pictures of your boys studying the Pierce County Rec Hall blaze. Or pictures that look like Mike Donnelly set the fire. I wait for election day to near. Whoever's trailing gives good money for whichever pitcher does them best. My gut says I'm glad you're trailing.
Well, I'll have to see the pictures first.
The reporter pulls back a napkin and the photos appear. Tracy looks around and then goes through the photos. They are of Mike and the cabin fire. Governor Tracy looks gleeful.
Here's the rub. Now you'll have to tell me your name so I'll know who to make out the check to.
My best friends call me Cash.
Steve and Mike in Mike's convertible. They drive down the mountain and come to a screeching halt in front of a house. They get out.
Promise me you'll stay.
Shut up, Steve. What could go wrong? I vote, I go home.
It's a polling place.
Over there.
Did I make it?
Yes. Name and address.
Mike Donnelly, 612 Caswell Street.
Mike takes a ballot and enters a booth to vote. Steve cracks his knuckles and waits for him. Mike opens the curtain and goes to exit the booth, but he's stuck. As he tries again and again to exit the booth, which is in three sections, the other voters are pulled along with him as he thrashes around trying to get out. Mike is thrashing so violently that he pulls the entire voting booth over and the booth is
ready.
Steve looks at the fallen booth as suddenly Mike pops up from the middle section.
It's okay. It's okay, man.
Mike bashes in the back of the booth to help a voter out.
Here you go. I'm sorry. Here you go, ma'am. That is my fault. Here you go.
He does the same to the other side.
Here you go, ma'am. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Go, stupid jerk! What are you doing?
Mike brings his ballot back to the pollster. She grabs it out of his hand. And slaps his receipt back, all the time giving him a furious look. Steve is deadpan.
Who'd you vote for?
Mike and Steve inside watching TV.
We now continue with our election night.
I bet the exit polls already have us by 10 points.
So after the events of last night, a slight shift in voter sentiment was expected, but no one anticipated this.
Early this morning, this photo was released, linking Mike Donnelly to the scene of the Pierce County Recreation Center fire. The arson accusations against the disgruntled former employee came at the worst possible time for his brother Al Donnelly's drive to the governor's mansion.
Governor Tracy is about to claim victory.
Collins, it's all my fault. Sure, only a portion of the votes tally. My brother lost his election because of me.
Cowlitz County, Tracy wins by 280.
Oh.
Garfield County, Tracy 1048, Donnelly 834.
Tracy won Garfield County?
A lot of good our grassroots campaign did up there, right?
1048 to 834? That's 1,882 votes. There's only 1,502 voters up in Garfield County. Something isn't right.
The screen shows Governor Tracy surrounded by people.
Those are the guys that started the fire.
It's troopers?
They were wearing street clothes, but that is them. Steve, we gotta call Al now. Wait a minute. I gotta do something first.
Late at night, Mike's beat-up convertible pulls up to the Garfield County Hall of Records. Steve and Mike get out. And to gain entry, they smash in an office window to get to the records.
Here it is. Voter registration for Garfield County. I knew it. Looky here. Any of these names look familiar?
You were right.
Yeah. Al didn't lose. He got cheated. We got proof. Right here.
So we get on the phone and alert the press.
Screw that. She embarrassed me in front of the whole state. She messed up things between me and my brother. Now it's going to be payback time. Where can I find her?
There's a post-election ceremony at the governor's mansion at 10 a.m.
They rush to the car with the voting records.
Nothing's going to stop us now.
Mike frantically tries to turn over the ignition, but the battery completely dies out.
Okay, maybe we could use some help.
A police car pulls up to a public phone.
We'll meet you there. There's no way we can do this without you. You're a true American, Sergeant Savage. I thank you.
Robbie jumps out of the police car as Mike ends his phone call. Mike runs to him.
Robbie, this is the biggest thing I've ever asked of you. Are you sure it's cool?
No, it's not cool. And if you get pulled over, I'm going to say the car was stolen so that I can keep my job. Oh, and one more thing. Do not use the tape deck, because it's been shorting out on me. Don't forget.
Mike and Steve jump into the police car. Robbie stays behind. You and me, the police car, manned by Mike and Steve, swings along a mountain road as the two throw their heads back and forth in time for the music. Because of the shortened radio, the music keeps going on and on. The two heads thrash around in time to the music, and when it stops, they stop. They come to stopped traffic at a road repair.
Oh, what is this all about? We're gonna be there at 10 o'clock.
Mike pulls the police car to the side of the stopped traffic and proceeds.
Okay, people. Coming through official police business. I want you to step lively. Do not make me abuse my power.
These guys think we're real cops.
As workmen scatter, Mike drives over their dug-up road, bumping the chassis up and down. Then drives off.
What the hell was that?
A chunk of the road or something.
I just junked in my pants.
A camera close-up at the back seat shows smoke and a hissing sound coming from the airway. Mike and Steve continue on their way, driving around the beautiful mountainside and thoroughly enjoying themselves and their authority in a filling station.
The Lord is
a bug lands on the windshield in front of Steve.
Oh! Whoa! You see that bug just smacked the windshield?
Oh, man. I'll get it. Here.
Mike tries different buttons.
Where is the frickin' thing? We got, like, levers galore in this thing. There it is.
Man, that was weird. That bug was coming at me. I totally connected eyes with him. He was, like, slow motion going, I can't stop, don't wanna, hey! Oh, man, that was wild. He's so weird. He's coming, just going, my life's good, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, I'm alive, dead!
Oh.
But this map is heavy. It's got all those robes on it.
Rogues?
Roots? I can't say that word.
Roads! Rowards.
Rowards. Wow. That's a total weird word, isn't it?
That is a freaky word. Very, very freaky. I'm stoned. So are you.
Rowards.
Damn it, the nitrous oxide's leaking into the car. Oh, man. Oh, we gotta maintain.
I think you just drive the speed limit. We're gonna be cool.
All right, everything's cool. I'll just go the speed limit. Limit. That's another one of those freaky words.
Limit. Did you turn the siren on?
Dude, I couldn't even find the glove compartment in this thing.
A motorcycle cop is riding behind Mike and Steve.
God.
They look around frantically, but can do nothing as the bike is right behind them.
Man, we're screwed. Get in the back! Get in there! How you doing, buddy? Transporting a prisoner. 12th Precinct up in Buckley Town. My sergeant didn't give me any overtime, so I'm trying to do it lickety-split.
Tell me, officer, do you have any idea how fast you were going?
Well, I got a 426 Hemi in her. Three-quarter cams, nitro boosters. I can get her up to as good as 155. Never do, though, of course, unless I'm chasing a cute chick in a Ferrari.
The motorcycle cop takes in a huge breath of air.
I guess I was going about 65, tops.
Seven miles an hour. And normally when I stop people, they pull onto the shoulder.
A bird's eye view shows Mike stopped in the middle of the highway.
I don't know how you do things up in Buckley Town, but down here we are protective of the other drivers on the roads.
Roads. Roads.
Quiet back there. Taking enough guff from you for one day. Raving psycho. Butchered 400 chickens and screwed a beagle. Taking him back to Nevada where he's wanted for banging horses.
Steve smiles sweetly at the bike cop.
Good God. And you get him through this state a little faster than 7 miles an hour, officer.
Me off. Jack.
Mike turns and winks at Steve.
Go.
Oh, man.
What a goon. You were great, though, man. That was genius. I never would have thought of that. That was hot.
Woo! Oh, shit!
They turn to see a motorcycle cop and a police car behind them.
Oh, man. I hope there's enough juice left in these boosters.
Yeah! Mike steps on the gas, and the car roars off, leaving the pursuing policeman in his dust.
See ya! Oh, man! Woo!
As Mike speeds along the highway, most of the time driving in the middle of the white line or on the wrong side of the road, The motorcycle and police car have picked up their speed and are in hot pursuit. A highway sign shows them on Route 5 South Florida, 2 miles away. The lawn in front of the governor's mansion.
We're live at the governor's mansion. Today's event is a celebration of Governor Tracy's election to a third term, with all the campaign staff as well as their families gathering for what appears to be quite a festive affair.
Governor Tracy, having just pulled out a squeaker, must be all smiles today.
A limo.
We're just receiving word that Mike Donnelly, the brother of Al Donnelly, is involved in a high-speed police pursuit. Mike Donnelly, wanted for questioning in an arson fire, is driving down Capitol Boulevard in a stolen police car.
I don't believe this. Driver, head back to the Capitol!
Now, what are you, crazy? You can't do this.
Do what?
Commit career suicide. I beg you, don't do this. Give me some time. I can make you a senator.
Jesus, Roger, did it ever occur to you there is a time when family might be more important than career?
Ever occur to you that at some point you're going to have to make a choice between me and that loser brother of yours?
The camera pulls back and we see the limo pull to a halt on the side of the road. The door opens and Roger emerges from the back with a look of disbelief as the limo speeds off. Mike and Steve in the police car pull up to the festivities at the governor's mansion. They get out of the car and talk behind a van.
Go on up there and scope it out. Nobody's going to recognize you.
Okay. Promise me you'll stay right here.
Steve joins the festivities. Governor Tracy is at the podium.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This election was about the majesty of democracy, where the gathered masses held their vote high.
Mike enters on the back of a sound truck, hops over the tops of parked cars to where Steve is standing.
I must also thank my wonderful husband, Dennis, and my two beautiful, intelligent children, Andrew and Patty.
Steve! I'm in.
Where the hell's Drake, man? He's supposed to be here.
I'm surprised we can't count on a guy that lives in a school bus surrounded by landmines.
All right. Here's what we do. We dress as caterers, right? Nobody looks at a caterer's face. It's always, what do you got in the tray? Then we sneak around back when Tracy starts to... Something's happening here. Steve, help! Steve! Steve, get back here! Oh, my God!
Mike, his jacket, is being lifted high in the air by the hydraulic broadcast microwave dish on top of the news van. Steve turns and looks up in disbelief as Mike, swinging frantically, tries to free himself from his predicament. Steve motions for Mike to stay still.
Steve!
Help! How are you?
Steve, please!
Mike is left dangling. His generous weight is rocking the van as he struggles.
Help! The voters have spoken, and I have heard their message loud and clear. And that message is...
She sees Mike.
Holy shit! Oh.
Everyone turns to see Mike.
Hi there! Hi! Boy, I feel like a horse's patoot.
The station finally gives way under Mike's weight and rips apart from the roof as Mike does a swan dive in a slow motion right in the middle of the festivities. Everyone runs over to him as he slowly gets to his feet. Policemen help him up.
I'm all right. I'm okay.
He grabs a cop's
give
gun.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute. I'll be fine.
Holds it to Steve's head.
Steve Dodge gets it.
Who?
Steve Dodge.
Who's this guy?
Come on.
From the Donnelly campaign. What does it matter? He's got a gun. You're a cop.
Get over him. I'll kill him. I'll kill him.
I want that asshole taken out.
I'll get a sharpshooter right away.
Get your ass up there. I'm sick of Steve. Everybody back up or I blow the big squeak's head off. I've got something to say. Please.
Please listen to him. Do what he says. I have children, Tommy and Sally. I got it.
Mike right? at the podium. Steve is hostage. A cop is covering.
As soon as you get a clear shot, take it.
Okay, listen up.
Al arrives.
This is serious.
A camouflaged business. Drake Savage with binoculars sits in a tree.
We've all been screwed by Governor Tracy. And now I'm going to screw her. I mean, I have evidence here that you need to know about now before it's too late.
Mike, what the hell are you doing here?
Oh, man.
Hey, isn't that Steve Dodge?
Yes, sir.
Al, man, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to prove you won the election.
Mike, put the gun down. There's other ways to handle this.
No, man, Al, there's no other way. You got to believe me.
I believe you. I don't want you to get hurt.
Look, I know this looks bad.
Savage sees the cop with a rifle trained on Mike and leaps down from his hiding place.
Real proof.
Yeah, but look. The election's over. It's history.
Savage removes his prosthetic leg and dumps it on the ground.
Al, please!
The cop scopes in on Mike.
Love me like a brother. You gotta back me up on this.
All right, Mike. I'll back you up. What do you want me to do?
Just let me explain to
the Savage spoils the cop's shot by reflecting light. The crowd is in a panic.
That's it! Game over! I'm not even getting paid for this! It's not worth it!
In full army gear, Savage runs up on stage, swinging a rocket launcher in every direction. Everyone ducks.
Mr. Thundermaker here is going to start barking fire. If you don't stop moving and listen to what this young man has to say. Go ahead, Mike. Clear.
Thank you, sir. You've just met Drake Savage, a great American soldier. I'd like to tell you a little bit about some other great American soldiers. Drake Savage's grandfather, Winston Savage, whose name you'll find at the top of this list. It says that he registered and voted for Governor Tracy.
And we're proud to have him as a voter.
Hold your tongue, Winch. The fact is, Winston Savage was killed in the Argonne Forest in 1918. A Zeppelin landed on his head, smashing his head clean out of his ass. That's my granddad. Rest in peace, sir.
Norris Savage met his maker in Iwo Jima, 1944. Nelson Savage was killed near the 38th parallel in Korea. However, yesterday, these men managed to cast their vote for Evelyn Tracy. You heard it here, folks. Voter fraud. Now, half these people are buried in the Garfield Cemetery. That's one county. It's probably the same all over the state.
Now, hold on just a minute, young fellow. There's a perfectly good explanation for all of this. Neuschwander!
Actually, there is a perfectly good explanation for this.
She put us up to it.
Did you shut up?
It's all her!
Shut up!
Governor Tracy's aide, drink in hand, laughs heartily.
Ladies and gentlemen, this young man is a fine patriot. He deserves to be hoisted up on her shoulders.
Savage tries a lift, but drops the weighty mark on top of the petite Governor Tracy.
Get off of me!
My foot's caught a little bit. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
I'm asking you to get off of me.
I should say ex-governor. I'm just trying to get a little rubbish on my foot.
The crowd stickers, and the camera pulls back on the scene of Mike laying on top of the governor in a suggestive position, thrashing around under the podium.
Don't get
high,
how are you?
At the airport, the brothers hug.
Thanks for everything, bro. Listen, there were times during the campaign when I kind of lost sight of what really mattered. I never should have doubted you.
Oh, thanks, man. That's cool.
Are you sure you don't want a job on my staff?
You know what, Al? I don't think I'm really cut out for politics. Besides, I got a lot of work to do rebuilding that rec center, you know. Kids really love the place, so.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, I got somebody you got to meet. Hey, Scott, come here for a second.
Scott, football in hand, jumps out of his grandmother's car.
You gotta check this kid out. He's unbelievable. He's got an arm on him like you used to have. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mr. Governor, can I please have your autograph?
Why not? Governor-elect.
Get it right, moron.
There you go.
Wow.
Check this out. Give me a toss, Scott. Hey, buddy! Oh! Nice toss, Scott.
Oh, man, kid's got a cannon.
Go along.
Okay.
Mike hits Scott's grandmother in the head with the football.
No!
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Scott, concerned, goes to her side.
So long, little brother.
Okay, see you, Al.
Al boards the plane as Steve and Mike say their goodbyes.
So, this is it, huh, Steve?
I guess I'm gonna miss you. Not gonna miss a 9mm to my head, but, what were you thinking?
I don't know.
All right, you guys, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Mike closes the door to the plane and turns to leave, but his coat is in the door.
Oh, my God! No! No! Please,
as the camera zooms back for a long shot, we see Mike's legs running with the plane. And as the plane rises into the sunset, we see Mike on the outside of the plane being carried along into the wild,